Welcome to RadioLogix, LoanLogix podcast series exploring technology and solutions in the mortgage industry. I'm your host, Gary Catrimbone. In today's podcast, we talk with a MERS industry veteran about how to prepare for your annual third-party MERS compliance review. Annual attestation by a third party should do more than check a box for MERS compliance. It should help you improve your processes. With the right preparation and planning, you can be MERS audit ready anytime. Today, we have with us Gary Vantaventer, Vice President of Loan Service Consulting here at LoanLogix, who manages the company's annual audit practice. He has over 15 years of MERS consulting experience and holds the unique distinction for registering the first ever MERS loan. Welcome, Gary.
Thanks, Gary. Great to be here.
Tell us a little bit about your experience while you were at MERS. What did you do? What was your team involved with?
Well, I left Wells Fargo and began working for MERS in 1998. At that time, I was in the integration area and was responsible for integrating members into the process, so working with many of the early adopters. As you know, MERS was under a consent order from the OCC for a while, which has since been released. But these requirements for the QA for the third-party attestation all came out of that consent order. We were required by the OCC to come up with a program that ensured our members were meeting all the requirements, performing exactly as the procedures manual stated. Prior to that, MERS really relied on its members to self-police themselves. That obviously didn't work. So for all of these requirements that you see, my team and I were responsible for developing them.
So I guess it would be fair to say that you and your team wrote the rules that you're now helping people to understand.
Exactly. And that brings about a really in-depth understanding of not only what the requirement is, but why it's there.
Gary, we're recording this podcast in the June timeframe, and that puts us about halfway through the year already. So when should servicers really start the process working with a third-party reviewer to prepare for their year-end MERS compliance audit?
You know, ideally, the process should be ongoing throughout the year. The servicer's internal QA department should be routinely conducting its own reviews, but often they don't have the complete knowledge of the MERS processes and requirements to know exactly what they're looking for. Having the third party throughout the year be a second pair of eyes can help that servicer identify issues before they become a larger problem. No one should wait until the end of the year, engage a third party, and then discover that something's been wrong for the previous 9 months. A strong partnership between the third party and the servicer can help ensure successful results by working together throughout the year to identify those problems, helping to remediate them, then conducting the final review, which gives the servicer a fully positive and grade A review. Point to note, when the independent third party signs that e-annual report that goes to MERS, they're attesting that they've monitored the member's QA performance. Monitored. It doesn't say came in one time and did a test.
That's a great point. So who should, internally speaking, who should be a part of the process?
Well, at a minimum, the MERS primary operations contact should be involved, the people that interact with MERS on a daily basis, regular basis there. But as I said before, it's beneficial to have the internal QA resources participate in the review because then they see what they should be looking at the rest of the year. And if the servicer uses a subservicer, the reviewer will interact either directly or indirectly with them because they're performing MERS processes on behalf of their client.
Okay, so what type of controls is the third-party reviewer actually investigating?
Well, every MERS requirement outlined in the MERS EQA plan should have a control, the EQA plan being the form that the member submits to MERS each year that identifies that they understand all of the requirements in the MERS procedures manual. So that's an extensive list. keeping them our system contacts and member information updated, meeting transaction timeframes, reconciliation, on and on and on. If there's a requirement in the MERS procedures manual, then the servicer should have controls in place to ensure it is meeting or exceeding them.
That's a lot of different controls to test. Are there any, maybe one or two areas that reviewers tend to overlook?
Well, recordable documents are one of the most common items that gets overlooked. MERS has very stringent requirements about what verbiage can and cannot be used on lien releases, assignments, assumptions, etc. When MERS is a party to the document, they have a requirement about it. Documents can come from various sources. While many of the document vendors are MERS compliant because it's in their contracts that they be compliant with regulations, the problem arises when documents are created internally using old templates or have been drafted many times by outside counsel who have no instruction or understanding of what the correct verbiage should be. The officers executing the documents may not catch those inconsistencies or incorrect phrases, and then the document gets executed and recorded. The third-party reviewer should be identifying these issues so the servicer's internal controls can be strengthened, preventing future occurrences. Since document deficiencies are one area where MERS has some significant penalties, in addition, it should be a priority for every review.
Well, that sure makes sense. How comprehensive are most of the audit reports? And what types of the information that come from those reports can servicers use to improve their processes? How do they actually benefit from the report itself?
Well, for the first part, unfortunately, there's not a lot of consistency. MERS currently has no standards applicable to the third-party reviewer. They don't say, you must do this, you must do this, you must do that. There are some generic guidelines, but nothing that is a formal requirement. On the e-annual report itself, that must be signed and submitted by the reviewer, there are six bullet points. Four of those bullet points deal with reconciliation and data. One bullet point regards officers who sign as MERS officers, the CRMS process. The sixth bullet point is to attest that the servicer is following the MERS QA plan. That bullet point covers every requirement in the procedures manual besides the four mentioned before, so it's extensive. Other reviewers concentrate on, did the servicer reconcile, and do they work their MERS reject reports? They fail to take into consideration all of these other requirements or test those controls that should be tested to ensure that that member, their client, is meeting all of the MERS requirements. By conducting a complete and thorough review, the third party can provide the detail on what's not working in the servicer's process and procedures. A complete review can also tell them what they are doing right.
Sometimes that's as important as what they're doing wrong. So I have a last question, actually a group of questions. Microsoft Excel still has a pretty strong presence in the industry, but you're out in the field. So you see servicers still using spreadsheets, I'm sure, to perform reconciliation. Talk to us a little bit about the benefits of using automation for that and any extra steps an independent reviewer might have to take investigating a servicer's manual reconciliation process.
Sure, and I've seen various methods out there from people doing stare and compare to having built their own automated systems, and automation is always beneficial. It certainly can reduce the time necessary for the process, but also reduces the possibilities of user error. Anything manual always has that component of being something could go wrong. With the right programming, a reconciliation can help you drill down to the real exceptions instead of showing you items that aren't considered by MERS true exceptions. For example, if you have ST, the abbreviation ST for street, but the system says street or STR, that's not an exception. You don't want to see that every single month. Having true exceptions helps the reviewer looking at specific items to verify the corrections have been made. An automated system can have that functionality that eliminates those false exceptions. Most automated systems provide summary reports in addition to detail reports. For a reviewer, the summary reports are very beneficial because they can give you a picture of month-to-month progress or the lack thereof. All in all, my opinion, automation is the best solution. Besides, you don't have to worry about the system going on vacation for 2 weeks and your reconciliation not getting done.
Thanks, Gary, for being with us today. Really informative best practices that I'm sure will help servicers and subservicers be more compliant with MERS quality assurance standards and annual reporting requirements. To recap, preparation for your annual third-party review can begin anytime. This gives a servicer enough time to work with their reviewer to carefully assess the internal procedures, perform testing, discuss findings, and remediate issues before they submit the e-annual report to MERS. A qualified partner should provide support throughout the year to help institute process improvement programs. You can raise your confidence in MERS controls and processes with an experienced service provider and streamline reconciliation with automated technology. For more information on LoanLogic's MERS audit and reconciliation solutions, call 215-367-5500 or email us at LoanLogic's info@loanlogics.com.